Good morning. Let us worship together this morning. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come together to worship you, whose way is good. God's creative power sustains the world. His love enriches our lives, though we have often failed in our own loving response. In Jesus Christ, we can see the way to a new life in union with you through the power and the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. The way of Christ is a way of love, joy, and peace. We who walk in this way offer up to God our whole being in service. We give thanks for the example of the saints and all who have lived out the way of Christ in the past. We also offer to God all in whom this image of loving power and service has been disfigured and is being disfigured by hatred, by war, by suffering. We have met this day in solemn remembrance of those who lived and died in service of their country. We give thanks for their lives and pray that you, eternal God, would enable us to be worthy of the sacrifice made on our behalf. May those who have lost their lives to war rest in peace and rise in your glory. May our time of remembrance inspire us to be peacemakers in our own time. In Jesus' name, we pray this through the work of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing our first hymn, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you. I stood in a field in a faraway land, drawn to the spot, but could not understand what made me stop right next to this grave, and what was this strange and sad feeling it gave. Though there all alone, I really felt a presence of someone, and so I just knelt. It seemed I needed to sit in the cold and wait for something to me to be told. "Why do you cry?" the young soldier said. "And why are you here in the field of the dead?" His voice was so soft, I hardly could hear. And when I first looked, there was nobody near. He looked like a shadow in his old uniform, and it seemed to me he could never be warm. I knew in my mind he could not be real, but it seemed his presence would help me to feel what all people feel when they come to see the place where their loved ones lie over the sea. He asked me again, and when I replied, I said it was for all mankind that I cried. I cry for the children that were never to be when all of the soldiers came over the sea. I cry for those fathers who all had to stay as their sons went to war in a land far away. I cry for the mothers, every last one, who watched as the war took their dearly loved son. I cry for the girl who lost her sweetheart as she waved him goodbye when they had to part. I cry for the friends who at home had to be as their mates went to war over the sea. I cry for the man who lies in this ground, not knowing if his body was ever found. I cry for the freedom this hero gave me, and I cry that his knowing this never will be. I heard a soft sigh, and his voice gently said, "This is my grave, and though I am dead, you have found me, and so I know I can rest, happy to know we all gave our best." I then saw his eyes filled with tears. So I said, "For whom do you weep, young soldier, now dead?" As he faded away, like I knew he would do, his voice said, "My son, my tears are for you."
Could I ask the congregation to please stand for the act of remembrance, and please remain standing until after the reveille. Let us remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country in war, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of mankind. They went with songs to the battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end, against odds uncounted. They fell with their faces to the foe. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted, either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for all whom we remember today. Fulfill in us, as in them, the purpose of your love, and bring us all to your eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you are the one who reigns over all nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace. Have mercy on our broken and divided world. Pour out your peace into the hearts of all, that all races and people may learn to live as members of one family in obedience to your law, the law of love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear us when we pray as you have taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us respond with Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Our reading this morning is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, reading from verse 16 to 34. And just before I start, I would like to maybe put this in context. it's telling about the time when Paul and Silas were teaching and preaching, and they started off in what we would now call Turkey. And they're about to move to another place when Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia, which of course is Greece, asking that they come and preach and teach about the good news there in Greece. And just about to set off across to Greece, which is in Europe, of course, they were joined by Luke himself. And so you'll see that there's now three of them. There's Paul, Silas, and Luke. And of course, we know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, so this is really an eyewitness account. This is somebody's own personal experience. Let us hear the word of God. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Amen. And may God bless to us this reading from his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory. Amen.
We have just heard from Acts 16 that singing and music can be soothing. And therefore, let's sing our next hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." But we will only sing verse 1 and verse 3. And when we sing it, may it also bring soothness to your soul.
Great is Thy.
I said, singing can soothe even if you are not religious. As a matter of fact, singing or music in the broadest sense of the word is prayer without religion. And I know most of us know the following story or happening or episode, it's a better word, when in 1914 on Christmas Eve, whilst fighting on the battlefields of World War I, it was the song of Silent Night that brought the Germans and the English together in the midst of the battlefield. And if you want to read up a bit on that more, you can ask me afterwards. But I think we know the episode and the happening of no firing, no shooting, but in the midst of Silent Night, people could have peace for one day. Of course, singing can soothe, and even if you are religious, singing could help us. It was the great reformer Martin Luther who once said, "Experience proves that next to the Word of God, only music," and that's his quote, "deserves being extolled as the mistress and governess of the feeling of the human heart." I would like to add silence, but I'm not Martin Luther. "As great a praise than this we cannot imagine," he said. And he said back then, he truly desires that all Christians come to love and regard music as worthy and a loving gift, which is a precious and costly treasure given by the Lord. And within the Lutheran tradition in Germany, it would be the tradition, the moment that the liturgist shuts his mouth or her mouth, the music, whether it be organ or instrumental, the music would be seen as the liturgist carrying on the emotion, the word of God in a different sense. Because music does do something to our being, even only if it's only association with a melody connecting with words. When we think of Act 16, it could be seen as melodious, or, and I hope I pronounced it correctly this morning, cacophonously, is that the word? Yes. And it bears witness of what happens within the text. Strangely enough, the music score in Act 16 opens up with the hoarse cries or the harsh cries of this lady being a slave. And then she cries out to Paul and Silas, which find themselves in Philippi preaching gospel. And this slave woman, who was telling fortunes and earning fortunes for her owners, kept on following and crying out loudly. These men, Paul and Silas, and as we've heard, Luke, would be witnessing about God Most High. And then they announced to her that she could be saved. For many days, this kept on while she was crying and crying, shrieks and shouts that could shatter eardrums until Paul could not stand it any longer. He then turned around and ordered the soothsaying spirit to leave her in the name of Jesus, we hear in verse 18. Well, the spirit of fortune-telling left her, and so did the fortunes of the owners of the fortune-teller. Infuriated, seeing that the capital flow had been compromised, they fabricated a false charge against Paul and Silas, and the two preachers were consequently flogged severely and thrown into prison, and we would say maximum prison or security today. I think we can safely assume that this was not a five-star hotel as in certain countries today, because prison was prison. It was harsh. As far as I know, there existed no elaborate charter of human rights guarding over the healthy accommodation and comfortable well-being in a Roman jail of those days. This was no place that anyone would voluntarily call home or a safe place. Even with little imagination, we can think ourselves into this situation where Paul and Silas sitting in the dark and depths, being quite cold in a clammy cell, with burning, bloodied backs and with blocks on their feet, surrounded by a sickening stench and with only a few strands of straw, maybe trying to sleep. I think realists would say, well, this is it. This is the end of the preaching, the brave effort of Paul and Silas, but you can't argue with chains. The church has been struggling over ages and ages, being chained down and bounded, not preaching the gospel. And if I was with Paul that evening, I would think to myself, well, Paul, you can sing a solo, but I'm out of here, my brother. This is too cold to sing with you. But in the darkest hour, in midnight, and in the darkest place, in prison, a difficult situation, the sounds of worship can be heard. The darkest space and the darkest time are filled with praises and prayers. Dare I say, the prison is filled with space-time, or we call it pleroma, which means a godly space which filled an ordinary space. Midnight and a cell coverage as a space for grace. Paul and Silas suffers, but still they keep on singing. They are in chains, but still their voice, their song in a chorus. Probably the psalms or hymns of the early church back then. If I was in Silas's shoes, as I said, I would just tell Paul, have your song, my brother, leave me alone. But they sing from the depth of their heart, filling space and time with a duet from the depths. Small wonder that the church father Tertullian, the historian, once said about the strange event. He said, the feet in the blocks feel nothing as long as the heart is in heaven. And I said I won't quote this, but I want to quote it now. Back in the Anglo-Boer War in South Africa in the late 1800s, the women of the farmers would say something similar when their farmhouses would be burned to the ground and everything being slaughtered off. They would say, you can take everything of me, but you can't take my faith in the Lord. Truly, faith is a nightingale that sings when it is still dark. The sounds of the singing do not simply drift out into space, into nothingness. On the contrary, like a pebble being thrown in a loch or a pond, it has a rippling effect in ever-widening circles, creating spaces for grace as it goes out and out. The cells surrounding Paul and Silas are the first to start vibrating with the sound of salvation, according to Acts 16, because the other inmates are the first ones to hear and to listen. And I suppose they could not believe their ears. Instead of lamenting and swearing, they hear psalms from a cell. They hear prayers in a cell. Instead of naked fear or fatalistic submission, they sense life and they sense hope, something totally different than expected in a cell or in prison at that time. The songs of Paul and Silas fill and move time and space, but even more so, God fills time and space. The sound waves of a few songs instigate a cosmological vibration. An earthquake is part of this musical score, shaking the foundations and the doors of the jail. What happens in this enclosed space of prison? It affects the open spaces of the cosmos. The duets of these two people, or three, from the depths become a cosmic choir. A choir who sings together, not only in the jail of Philippi, but through the imprisonment, the suppression, the bunkers, and the trenches of wars throughout time. Just listen to these additions to the musical score there in the episode of Acts 16, around Silas and Paul and Luke. The chains start to rattle. The percussion, then fall off the prisoners. The blocks where their feet are tied in becomes unlocked. As if by magic, the door swinging open, squeaking, coming together in song. The beat, which is a different beat in the heart of a very scared, jailkeeper. And then a latter piece of the music, when it fades away into joy of a whole family who comes to peace with God. But this man is not only saved by death, the jailkeeper, his whole family is saved. He's being transformed into something else, a healer of wounds, a breaker of bread, I hear. And the songs of salvation being sung in a cell becomes a social event. Indeed, the talk of the town, we hear later in verses 40. And so the rippling goes on and on. Truly remarkable. Towards the end of this episode, we hear that the singing also results in Paul and Silas preaching again. The sounds of their song form the acoustic space where their preaching could take a new place. The cell could not silence them. The apostolic preaching of the cross is surrounded by song and encircled by sound of salvation. Yes, I said it in the beginning, singing can surely soothe and shake up things in a different way. Metaphorically speaking, I would ask myself on a day as this, how do I sing? How do we sing in times of endangerment? In times of feeling imprisoned, is it the sound of angst, of fear, a battlefield clinging and clanging with words, thoughts, actions of war? Or do we engage in the music and the music score of Christ's blessing when he tells us Shalom? And within that music score, it's included the meaning of peace unto you, harmony, wholeness, completeness, of prosperity, welfare, and tranquility, because that is the blessing of Christ. And this morning, from Acts 16, I urge you to take on the rhythm of reaching out, of embracing, of caring, of loving and bringing hope, giving and setting the tone of living forgiveness, and with spaces of rest and grace notes through the gifts of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I'm ending this morning with two text verses, one from Thessalonians 5, which says, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are the children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness, so then let us not be like others. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as breastplate." Listen, putting on love and faith as breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Christ died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as fact you are doing right now. And then, Revelation 14, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, and I heard the sound from heaven, like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of a harpist playing the harp, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except those who had been redeemed from the earth. And therefore, may we remember those today who have passed on, but may we always live and strive to bring and be the love, faith, peace, and hope of Jesus Christ in his kingdom. When we think of Remembrance Day, when we think of those passed on, we think of our family, of our loved ones in different situations. May we strive for the peace of the kingdom of God. Amen. I've brought a song with this morning. It's a South African lady who sings the song, but I'll put some images on the board if the computer works with me just now. It's of places of long past and still present moments where there's war and there were war. And when you see it, may your prayers also be with those and also in the present time. But it doesn't end with war, the song. The song reminds us that this is not the end of life. In Jesus Christ, there's new life. And may we celebrate that life as well.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you as congregation to follow me within a commitment of peace this morning if you feel that you want to do it. We fall silent on this day because we never wish to forget or return to days where every family, every community is touched by the plague of war and death. And remembering the sacrifices made on our behalf, we are asked to be the change which our world so desperately needs. To that end, silence is not enough. It must be matched by our actions. I therefore ask you the three following questions, trusting that in answering "I will," we might together build the kingdom of peace. Will you strive for all that makes for peace? Amen. Will you seek to heal the wounds of war? And will you work for a just future for all humanity? Amen. May God help us to fulfill these promises. Amen.
Looking out, it's good to see the church so full on this Remembrance Day morning, and a welcome, especially if you're visiting with us today. At the end of the service, as always, if you're free to do so, you can go through to the church hall for a cup of tea or coffee. But also, we've got two other short services this afternoon at 12:15 at the War Memorial in Lambride, and then at 2:30 at the War Memorial in Urquhart. You can't fail to have been struck by the displays this morning, the poppies falling from the pulpit, and the display that has been put at the front of the church here, and our thanks to all who've been involved in setting this up, the ladies who did the poppies, and particularly to Fiona Fraser, who has once again put on her display of memorabilia and information from the First World War particularly. And also there are these copies, paper copies of a book that was printed last year, Lest We Forget, and these are available at a price of £3 each if you'd like to buy one. And after costs are covered, anything that's remaining will go to the Poppy Scotland Appeal in Edinburgh. And if you want more copies, if these are all taken away and there's still people who want them, then if you ask Fiona or Ray, they would be delighted to get more for you. I'd just like to say also that this display will remain in the church, and the church will remain open until 1 o'clock. So if you want to go out to the service at Lambride and then come back and have a look at these things afterwards, if there's not time to look at them before you go, then please feel free to do that. The church will remain open until 1 o'clock. I think one other thing I need to say, and that is that the prayer meeting, as usual, second Sunday of the month, takes place at June Taylor's home this evening at 7 o'clock. I think these are all the intimations you need to hear from me, and now our offerings will be uplifted. Thank you.
Thank you. Today we have been looking back, remembering, giving thanks. Now we come to the present and our prayers and concerns for the future. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi in chapter 4, writes, "The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in everything make your requests known to God in prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Then the peace of God, which is beyond our utmost understanding, will keep guard over your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." So let us pray. Paul told us to pray with thanksgiving. So today, Lord, we come with gratitude. Because we are free to do this today, we can do it openly, without fear of persecution and prejudice, unlike some of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. So we start by praying for them. God, the creator of this beautiful, wondrous, and sometimes a bit scary world, we pray for the many, many places where your people, made in your image, are hurting. Those in war zones, those who are lacking water so that their crops and animals die, and that causes famine. We pray for them. We pray for those who are victims of natural disasters, like the flooding in the north of England. We pray for those who have been made homeless. Lord, we have wonderful medicines and doctors and help nowadays, but still there is disease and distress. We pray for all those who are not well at the moment, that they will receive the help that they need. We pray for people who are still hurting, people who are hurting because they've been bereaved, people who are hurting because they now have unemployment, people who are hurting because they've broken relationships, and people who are hurting because they're lonely. Lord Jesus, you showed and told us how to live together with others by loving, forgiving, caring, and sharing. And part of the sharing is letting other people know how much you, Jesus, love them. Help us to know when and where we can be your hands to show them that love. We pray for our country in the next few weeks as electioneering takes place. May there be courteous exchanges and a recognition that because a person holds a different opinion from you does not make them an enemy. We can exist and work side by side for the good of our communities. We give thanks for the people around us here today. As we worship together, we are all your children, and therefore we are related. In this, our church family, there are those who need our prayers. We pray especially for Jan and Morris Smith recovering from their ordeal. Lord Jesus, you never said prayer would be easy. So we pray also for their attacker and his family. We seek justice, not revenge, and ask in your hand on that process. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be in all the activities of our church and those who use their time and energy to make this happen. We pray for worship on Sunday and Ati and all his ministering to us. We pray for Tim, our children's worker, his lunchtime and after school clubs, and those who work with our youngsters every Sunday. We pray for all those involved in music, including the choir and the praise group. We pray for Connect, the Guild, TOFN, man to man, and probably others that I have forgotten. We give thanks for all who help with the practical administrative tasks to help further your kingdom here. Now in our hearts, we remember and give thanks for those doing well after medical treatment and those for whom we still have concerns. We remember them now. We finish as I read part of a traditional Gaelic prayer, and we pray this for ourselves. Today, may we remember your mercy given so gently and generously. Each thing we have received, from you it came. Each thing for which we hope, from your love it will come. Each thing we enjoy, it is of your bounty. Each thing we ask comes of your disposing. We make all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. Our closing hymn, CH4, number 63, All People That On Earth Do Dwell, we're going to sing it in a different order. Firstly, verse 2, and then verse 1. Only verse 2, and then verse 1. Verse 2 as a confession, as God the Creator being the steady one, and then the praises that God keeps us. No, just 2 and 1. Yes, only verse 2 and 1. Will set out before you to make your path ahead an easy one. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. The Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. The Lord will be beneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall. The Lord will be above you to bless you. And the Lord will dwell within you through the work of his Holy Spirit, that you may live from his grace. Amen.